Good morning. This is Black Book Talk. Welcome to the May edition. This is Patricia Welch, Multnomah County Library.
And Ovi Hill, Reflections Bookstore.
And joining us soon by telephone will be Emma Jackson Ford, our third member. Okay. Oh, Emma, hi. She's there.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. We've been listening to Dear Mama by Tupac Shakur. It's from the album Tupac, Me Against the World. And I hope that when we leave out of here, we can hear the rest of it, because this is just a great song. I mean, it's a real depiction of what it means to be a young black man raised by a single mother. Anybody who knows Tupac's story knows this was not an easy road to trot. But the fact that he is so appreciative of his mother and what she sacrificed to raise him always makes me, like, on the verge of tears. I can be riding down the middle of the city, hear that song, and just want to boohoo. It's a great song. So we're gonna lead out with later on, but we were happy to lead in. And like all of you listening out here, we want to say that we appreciate our mamas this month. Mine is Gladys Hill. She's in Baltimore, so this is dedicated to her.
Okay. Yes, our mamas who are in the spiritual realm, we also appreciate them too. And so I take my hat off to my mother and my grandmothers.
Okay, Emma, if you don't say something, you're going to be looking pretty bad. So you better chime in here.
Oh, you want me to say something about Miss Thelma? Well, my mother, I'm getting an echo is the problem. Can you hear me all right?
You sound clear to me. I hope it sounds clear to our listeners. She's fine. You're fine to our listeners, too, I'm told.
Okay, good. Okay. My mother is Thelma Faison, and she still lives in Arkansas and visits here quite often. She is still doing fine, and for any problem I have ever brought to her, she always say, you just need to pray about it.
Yes. Our mothers give us good advice. This isn't entirely a Mother's Day show, though. I do have some titles about, mothers, but we're probably going to cover the full realm today, right?
Yeah.
OB, I'm looking at OB's books and saying, yeah. We do want to mention something. If you had the, the program guide, you were probably expecting to hear an interview with Colson Whitehead. Unfortunately, due to ill health on his part, not ours, he can't join us this morning, but we are working on interviewing him for next month. So those of you who want to be not just up with it, but ahead of the game, you can go out and get a copy of his book, Apex Hides the Hurt. That's A-P as in Paul, E-X as in Xerox, whatever. Apex Hides the Hurt by Colson Whitehead. Some of you may have seen him recently when he was here for Wordstock. This is an incredible book. This man is a wordsmith from beginning to end. I can't wait to talk to him. And if you just like a book well written and by somebody who adores words, then, you know, all their implications, you really need to pick up this book and read it ahead of time and be ready to hear from him. So we're sorry that he's not with us today. And if we have an extra line and if people can call in, this is one of those days where we have it together and we have our books, but you can join us and share some books that you like or comment on anything we're saying. Let's see. OB, do you want to start off? You have this pretty book.
Oh, no, go ahead. Emma, why don't you tell us what the children are, what you're reading with them right now?
Well, actually, I found out. I'm going to talk about Virginia Hamilton today. Mm-hmm. I think she died last year.
Mm-hmm. I think so, too.
And Virginia Hamilton was an many award-winning author for children and young adults. I chose to talk about her first book, Her Story, African American Folk Tales, Fairy Tales, and True Tales. Her books are always, the ones that I know of, have been illustrated by Leo and Diane Dillon. The reason I chose her was the other day, well, maybe a week ago, my daughter called and asked me if she could borrow The People Could Fly, and she was so excited about it. And then 2 days later, I went into a new teacher's classroom, and she had just ordered the book, and it had arrived. And I thought, she was raving about Virginia Hamilton like she just started writing yesterday. And I thought, oh, my goodness, yeah, I forget that new teachers and young people have not always had these books. They're just discovering them. So I thought I'd talk about her today.
Good.
Her story is gracefully told by Newbery Medalist Virginia Hamilton. It has 19 stories, and it focuses on the magic lore and the wondrous imaginings of African-American women. This book is dedicated to mothers and grandmothers, aunts and great-aunts. It's a spirited celebration of our strength, our dreams, and the precious gift of life and love from generation to generation. And in it, I love it that she always has comments after a story. After a story called Woman and Man Started Even, this is her comment. Woman and Man Started Even is an African-American pourquoi tale with the rare outcome of the woman winning. It is a moral tale showing that the Almighty treats man and woman equally. It also reveals that the devil can enter into human concerns when people express anger toward God. It goes on to just explain what she means. So every story is wonderfully illustrated, and at the end, there is a kind of summing up or a comment. The book is called Her Story, Her Stories. It is told by, or retold by, Virginia Hamilton. It's illustrated by Leo and Diane Dillon. It won the Laura Ingalls Wilder Award, and it won the Coretta Scott King Award.
Very beautifully illustrated book.
Yes.
I'd like to talk about a book entitled The Covenant, an introduction by Tavis Smiley. Let me read from the back cover of this book. The Covenant with Black America is a national plan of action to address the primary concerns of African Americans today, from health and housing, from crime to criminal justice, from education to economic parity. African Americans continue to face devastating disparities on nearly every level. However, the time has come for African Americans to shift the conversation from talking about our pain to taking an action for our plans. This is a very interesting book. First of all, I'd like to take my hats off to Tavis Smiley. And for additional information on this book, you can get it on the internet, www.covenantwithblackamerica.com. It's a very sophisticated book from the standpoint of trying to get a lot of people to read, and not only read, but take action. Seems like we've moved to another level of sophistication in terms of working on the plight and conditions that prevail among Black Americans. The proceeds from this book go to a very worthwhile cause. He's contributing all the proceeds to Third World Press, which is Haki Mahabudi's publishing firm out of Chicago, Illinois. So that's Third World Press. And if you look at the book, it's broken down into various issue areas, about 10 of them. And each one of them is addressed by a different author. And it's a form of essays that speak to everything from health issues to criminal justice issues. I highly recommend this book. Now, there will be a national discussion on this book sometime within the next couple of weeks. So if you can dial on to www.covenantwithblackamerica.com, get the information on it. We plan to have a study group here to speak about these issues and address them. So anyone who is interested in can contact me here at KBOO, and I will be glad to respond to you. That is Covenant with Black America, introduction by Tavis Smiley.
I'm pleased to say that we have a copy of The Covenant in the library collection, too. So those of you who want to see the book, maybe review a copy before you purchase it, you can go to your local library. Also, I heard about The Covenant first on the, and I'm not sure if I'm exactly right on the title, but I think it's called The State of the Black Nation. It is telecast on C-SPAN, but it's sort of like a day-long gathering of the best minds in African America, and Tavis Smiley is one of the organizers of this event, and it's just a once-a-year thing. And I know this year he was promoting the book very heavily, and the book supports much of the work that is done and much of the information that is shared during the State of Black America conference. So those of you who saw that, and if you didn't see it, I know that you can go to C-SPAN and probably go to the archives and view some of the State of Black America proceedings. And there's also some information, I think, about the book linked to that site, too. So this is something that's really important in terms of where we are as African Americans today. Okay, now everybody knows that, you know, I'm gearing up now for the summertime for our beach blanket books. So I want to talk about another author who was in town recently, J. California Cooper. I think she was in town twice, once at Borders Books and then also at Woodstock. And she is now off going around the country, but promises that when she comes back, she too will be on the show. She was here to talk about her latest book, Wild Stars Seeking Midnight Suns. And this is published by Doubleday. And she has such a lovely personality. She has a lovely approach to her books. She is very clear about the fact that, yes, there is a message. There is something that she wants you to get out of this. She doesn't beat you over the head with a hammer. But there is, my word, not hers, but a moral to the stories. I want to read just a little bit, like a page maybe, from the first story in the book. And I think that as you hear the character's name, you will know that, yes, there's a message here. Okay, as time goes by, first story by J. California Cooper in her new book, Wild Stars Seeking Midnight Suns. This story happened in this small town to a friend of mine named Futilla Ways. The people here are the same as any people in any small midland town anywhere in America, or the world for that matter. There's a many of them, maybe a little poorer than some, and many things less accessible than in large cities. There are churches galore and a few schools, clothing stores of the cheaper variety. People who happen to have money could afford to go to better places to shop. Women's here have to look out of town for a husband sometimes because you can get sick of the people you grow up with. But after all, it was a nice, clean, quiet, boring little place. The town must have had promising beginnings a long time ago. Large landowners had built large, proud houses on their land. But now, over 100 years or so, their descendants had sold off most of the land to small developers in this part of town. A few of the large houses remained and several rows of small houses that crept up to them. Futilla's family lived in one of the old but neat little houses sitting in a row on Cutter Street with a younger sister, Willa, and an older brother, Eddie Jr., a domestic working mother and a father who was a labor mechanic at a gas station. He just kept the tools in order in the right places, didn't do much mechanic work on cars. He did his work well and kept a job, so they had the bare necessities of life. Mr. Ways, he doesn't know where his grandfather got that name from, did not have a sensitive turn of mind, so he cut down the big, grand black oak tree and another tall, beautiful tree I don't know the name of in the front yard so he wouldn't have to rake leaves. Then he covered the ground with cement so he wouldn't have to mow it. Just removed all the beauty and close bird songs. He wanted to do the backyard also, but his wife stopped him. She said she wanted to have a patch of land to plant a kitchen garden. I'll stop here. As always, J. California Cooper just talks about folks we know, maybe folks who are in our family. People are living simple lives, but her stories are large and her message is grand. So I refer you again to Wild Stars Seeking Midnight Sun by J. California Cooper.
The next I want to highlight is called Many Times Gone, African Americans from Slavery to Freedom. It's by Virginia Hamilton, and it is illustrated by Leo and Diane Dillon. In this book, there are lots of short stories, maybe 2 pages long, highlighting stories or tales that have been passed down from slavery until now, just telling of different people who lived during slavery, how they made it out of slavery. I want to read about Elizabeth Freeman. There are not many slaves in Massachusetts. There were not many slaves in Massachusetts in the late 1700s, and those who were slaves were apparently treated with some decency. Many took their meals with their white owners. Few were sold away. Incidents of cruelty did occur, though. Elizabeth Freeman, known as Ma Bett, and her sister worked in the same Massachusetts household. One day, the mistress became angry at Ma Bett's sister and tried to strike her with a hot poker. Ma Bett was in the way, and the poker struck her by mistake. She suffered a searing burn on her arm. Ma Bett left the house almost immediately. she would not go back, even though the mistress begged her to. "I'll never go back," Mom Bet said, and she never did. But she did carry the scar from the hot poker for the rest of her life. The owner tried to get Mom Bet back by going to court, but the Massachusetts Bill of Rights, recently adopted, stated that all men, meaning all people, are born free and equal. And the court decided in Ma Bet's favor. Now officially free, she began working as a servant, then became a midwife. She lived to be 97 or 98. Ma Bet's case was one of the first to test the Massachusetts Bill of Rights. This is a great book to be read by young people who are maybe 10 to 17. It's called Many Thousands Gone, African Americans from Slavery to Freedom, by Virginia Hamilton, illustrated by Leo and Diane Dillon, and it is being published by Scholastic Press.
When I think of Virginia Hamilton's books, I just see those beautiful illustrations, and I'm in my mind now is The People Could Fly.
I will be highlighting it next.
Very, very good. There's a book out. There's a young gentleman author in town by the name of Ashmed M. Mohammed. On the 15th of last month, he was in town, and I'm looking at a copy of a book signed by him that I went to a book signing on and heard him read. In fact, we were able to talk to him on a local television channel, which I was a participant on a panel with him. It's entitled The Synagogue of Satan. If dominance is gained and wealth is achieved using wicked and devious means, the same tactics must be used to maintain control. It is not religion, political affiliation, nor economic status, though all of those are aspects of our hidden reality. It is a mindset that must be challenged and then ultimately eliminated. This young man is very interested. He is a Muslim, a student of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, as well as his representative, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. It's a real interesting analysis of what this young man believes is going on in worldly affairs. And I must admit that it's a very interesting, and to some it may be a challenging or disturbing read, because he goes into some very, subject matters that might offend some people in terms of his challenge to various religions. Let me just read a little bit here. When everyone desires to accomplish something, motives must be examined to determine the reason. Although it is often the case, no one should be motivated by malice. If one has the knowledge of a particular events or subjects, it is the responsibility of that one to teach what they know to those who do not know. We are all held accountable for what you know and what you do with what you know. For all information is good when it is just. What some do with information is bad. It is often said that to whom much is given, much is required. This statement is often misapplied and misunderstood. This is one of the primary motivations leading to the writing of this book. I urge people to challenge themselves and look at this book within the context of a particular religious point of view. But not only that, I think it's very scholarly in its approach. He uses a lot of biblical terms as well as the Quran. But the covenant, the synagogue of Satan, is a very interesting read. And that is a self-published book by this young man from the Truth Establishment Institute, Chicago, Illinois.
Okay. I want to introduce Rise Up Singing, Black Women Writers on Motherhood. It's edited by Cecilia S. Berry, and it's published by Doubleday. And this is, a combination of short fiction, poems, essays from adult writers, juvenile writers, authors including Alice Walker, Faith Ringall, old Marita Golden, Martha Southgate, Tanana Reeve Du, Maya Angelou, Gwendolyn Brooks, Deborah Roberts, Rita Dove, and others. And it's just a commemoration of, a celebration of mothers. I want to read some of the titles of the work just to give you a sense of what's available. I think my favorite one is, let's see, where is it? When Wild Southern Women Raise Daughters by Evelyn Coleman. And then there's also Too Blessed to Be Stressed by Suzanne D. Johnson Cook. From The Children of the Poor by Gwendolyn Brooks, Many Rivers to Cross by June Jordan, The Complex Mathematics of Mothering by A.J. Verdell, let's see, Our Grandmothers by Maya Angelou, My Daughters and Me by Faith Ringall, and a lot of other titles, many other works in this book. So I just think that, you know, if you want to sit around and just think about, you know, what it means to be a mother, a daughter, a granddaughter, a, you know, an aunt or whatever, because it's all, after a certain point, part and parcel of the same thing. This is a good book. You might find something that you want to read to your mother. So, again, Rise Up Singing, Black Women Writers on Motherhood, edited by Cecilia S. Berry, Doubleday. And I really want to make sure that we have time to hear the next Virginia Hamilton, so I'm stopping right here. Emma, come on through.
All right. The last book I want to talk about is The People Could Fly, The Person Could Fly. Where am I? American Folktales. And as they'll be said, on the cover is this beautiful illustration of slaves, African-American slaves, rising up to fly off into the clouds, a whole family of them. Beautiful. This book is very unusual in that it takes folk tales that we've heard all our lives and fairy tales, and they have a different spin. They start out like regular tales that we know, like this one. Manuel had a riddle. There was a king, and he had a daughter, and the king told his kingdom that he would give a fortune in gold to anyone who could guess the riddle of the princess. But if the guesser guessed wrong, the princess would have his head cut off. So it always starts out with a riddle, a king, a daughter, and somebody's head is going to roll if they don't guess it. And a lot of people come along and they try and they get their head cut off. But in this story, Manuel makes up a riddle of his own to bring to the princess. And he tells his mother, who doesn't want him to go to the king's court, that he'll be back, dead or alive, he will be back. So he goes to court and he presents the riddle, and he does not take the princess home. Instead, it ends like this. There, you see, the king was trying to keep Manuel from telling about the ring. He succeeded. He got his fortune, and he took it to his mother. He and his mother then had a lot of everything and lived, and ever after that, they lived happily.
Yay.
Did not take the princess. But she has little notes again after her stories. This is a folktale from the Cape Verdean Islands that depicts episodic adventures. It seems to say that facts are facts, and yet the facts can be altered by the proper outcome of a riddle. It is one of many variations on the theme of the princess who asks riddles with the sacralized motif. There are several whistle and sacralized variations that goes on to say. And I like this book so much because after every story, it tells you what tradition it came from and gives you, there's a bibliography in the back that gives you a place to look for other variations of the same story. This is The People Could Fly, African-American Folktales Told by Virginia Hamilton, illustrated by Leo and Diane Dillon.
Thank you. Okay, thank you for sharing that with us. And that's why it's important that some authors are read and read and read over and over. I just want to close out by bringing attention to one last book, and I think because we're closing out with Tupac, it just seems appropriate. The book is called Can Black Mothers Raise Our Sons? It's by Lawson Bush V, published by African American Images. And it says more than 50% of black children are being raised by single mothers. This book examines the future of black boys in the hands of African-American mothers, showing 27 mothers who are raising their male children successfully, if it must be. Let us do this successfully. So if you are an African-American mother out there who's raising your son by yourself and you need some inspiration, I just lead you to this book, Can Black Mothers Raise Our Sons? By Lawson V. Bush, African-American Mothers. And now I'm just going to say goodbye from Patricia Welch of Multnomah County Library for this edition of Black Book Talk. And happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there.
Hats off to Black Motherhood, Mother of Civilization.
See you next month.
Drama, I can always depend on my mama. And when it seems that I'm hopeless, you say the words that can get me back in focus. When I was sick as a little kid, to keep me happy, there's no limit to the things you did. And all my childhood memories, I'm full of all the sweet things you did for me. And even though I act crazy, I gotta thank the Lord that you made me. There are no words that can express how I feel. You never kept a secret, always stayed real. And I appreciate how you raised me and all the extra love that you gave me. I wish I could take the pain away. If you can make it through the night, there's a brighter day. Everything will be alright if you hold on. It's a struggle every day, gotta roll on. And there's no way I can pay you back, but my plan is to show you that I understand. You all appreciate it.
The time is 10 o'clock. You're listening to the Radio Zine on KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. Still to come on this morning's Radio Zine at 10:30, it's Stage and Studio. Dancers from Body Box will discuss their production of The Big Room. And we'll also hear a piece featuring two women in the Pacific Northwest and their Hawaiian history. Up next, Jim Thompson speaks with Sarah Sheets of the Multiracial Family Center, a place where multiracial and transracial children and families share common experiences.